So this is one of the ayats of the Quran commented on by Imam Abu Qasim Qushayri. So this is the Quranic verse. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and Allah's all-expanding love and generosity and mercy. Or did you suppose that you should enter paradise without there having come upon you the like of those who passed away before you? They were afflicted by misery and hardship and were so convulsed that the messenger and those who believed with him said, "When will God's help come? Ah, but surely God's help is near." And I want to ask Zahra. So this verse presumably came after the testing of the early Muslim community.
Yeah, I mean, if it's Surat al-Baqarah, which it's from, then is in Medina.
In Medina.
Yeah.
Right, but this refers to that, but it can refer, of course,
also
to all messengers.
All the messengers before him,
that's
that
right.
Came to them.
Because it says, to those who came before you. So that is the Quranic verse. And now I'm going to read you Qushayri's
commentary. The name of his commentary is Lata'if al-Ishara, which means the subtleties of illusions.
The subtleties of illusions.
And so the usual word when you're commenting the Quran that uses tafsir, but he says this is not tafsir, this is the subtleties and illusions that are
within,
that come to some people then write to the friends of God and others about these more subtle meanings.
Right.
And he says in the beginning of it, he says, "I will share a few of them with you. Not too many so as to tire
Not
you."
Too many. It's taken her 5 years to get like a fifth of the way. God, so this is Al-Ustad Qushayri. God created paradise and surrounded it with difficulties. And this is a hadith, Qudsi. We have it in our book. He created the fire and surrounded it with carnal desires and cravings. In the hadith, it's more, though, that like beautiful things or attractive things, alluring, what sort of seems easy and alluring. Anyone who is too shy to ride the terrors will be kept from realizing their hopes. Verily, the real tested the ancients with the endurance of all kinds of hardships. He causes anyone who has joined behind the friends to be included in their path, and they share in their adversities. Anyone who thinks otherwise thinks a mirage is water. A dream does not transpire the way one thinks it should. The way, the sunnah of God, has come to pass with the friends so that they only came to rest in the courtyard of victory after commanding the open spaces of desperation. Although their anticipation is prolonged, kindness comes to them all of a sudden, and what they strove for is realized unexpectedly. God Most High said, "Ah, but surely God's help is near." So alhamdulillah. So this is a great, I mean, I was struck by this verse, you know, and the commentary in particular, because the verse I had read probably several times before, but somehow with the light of the saint who sees into the really interior, somehow it transmits also. I think this is one of the great functions of the saints. They can transmit, otherwise it stays in the Quran or it stays in the hadith, as we know, or it stays in the messengers. But with the living saints, and they can sort of transmit it directly, and you know, he's a living saint, really. So this is very important for us because we are raised in a culture which thinks that, you know, we must get rid of suffering or we must get rid of unpleasant things and difficulties. And of course, that's a natural human aspiration. And it's good, it's not bad per se, really. We all long for, you know, ease and beauty and delight and joy and freedom from cares. And but the truth is that we must plunge into the cares and in order to arrive at the truth, at the real truth, and in order to arrive at the eternal well-being. So that this is a tremendous encouragement for us in our journey, because our life is going to bring us there, whether we choose it or not. We don't choose our life. We don't choose the events in our life. We can try to, you know, inform it or try to influence it in one way or the other. And but it's going to always have aspects of suffering. So, first of all, to be told by a book of Revelation that, you know, suffering is what the great ones experience, because we also can fall into the illusion that, well, it's only those who don't do well or who are bad people who suffer, you know, like the good are not supposed to suffer. And those who love God or follow God. And we know that's not true from the mystics, of course, the Christian mystics. I mean, suffering is a companion. In fact, contemplation of suffering is one of the paths, the suffering of the beloved Jesus, alayhi salam, is one of the paths to opening the heart and to real place of union with Jesus and with God. But in a way, that's kind of fallen away from us in these more contemporary society. So it is very important that we contemplate and that we see our life as a prophetic life. So every life is really a prophetic life, and every life is modeled on the life of the prophets. You know, even if we're not doing something right, still the basic foundation of our life and the unfolding of our life, the what propels our life, the meaning within our life is prophetic. And it's true that actually sometimes in suffering is the time when we can really even see that better. So there is already an innate guidance there. I mean, if we were not innately guided, we would never make it. We can't just learn from the outside or from principles or rules like that. We must, we have it within us. So it's, the guidance is all what illumines those deep intuitions and deep knowledge within, and that light, and what touches that light to cause it to grow, and what opens that ocean of love in each of us. But this is a real encouragement not to avoid suffering. But one has to be careful, though, not to seek it. I would say that's a big difference, because then we try to take things in our own hand and, again, manage our life. It's rather by giving our life to God and accepting what comes to us, and meeting it as it comes, and feeling that if we are feeling suffering, that we feel we're in companionship with the great saints and with the prophets, and that this is going to be a fruitful suffering, so that nothing that we experience is useless or just, you know, unnoticed by God or you know, by chance. Everything is a, you know, a fine piece of mosaic, or a little cell in that body of light that is growing inside us, and that's very important for us to know. I mean, I know myself when I feel, you know, just going through different things, they can seem trivial, but they can cause suffering or pain, physical pain, you know. And if you think that this is part of your formation, that this is actually good for you, and this is coming from the Merciful One, and that this is drawing you nearer and nearer, and this is revealing the treasure in your heart, well, you're going to face it in a very different way. You're going to live it very, very differently. And, you know, you might even welcome it. And as Sheikh Noor said, he said that, you know, the great saints become disturbed if they feel that Allah is not sending them tests and trials. You know, so that's the difference. We want to run away from them, and the more mature are saying, you know, Allah, do you not love me anymore? So, alhamdulillah. It really depends where we are attached, whether we are really attached to Allah or are we still attached to the world. You know, that's a very good contemplation to make. And if we are attached to the world, as mostly we are still, if we're honest, we might say that, even if we love Allah, but we still have those bonds where we're, you know, place the world in an important place, and then we are going to suffer in a different way. So inshallah, may Allah guide us ever closer and closer, and appear, as it says here, appear like the full moon suddenly behind the mountain, rising in the horizons of our being, and rejoicing us after the time of suffering, and bringing relief and pouring down that soothing rain upon our hearts that might be parched and in desperation. Allah, we turn to you alone, and we seek from you alone, O Allah. And you alone can truly fulfill us, O Allah. You alone can truly and utterly and completely rejoice our heart and fill our heart and make our heart eternally happy. Amen. 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 Alhamdulillah. So would anyone like to share anything before we have zikr or comment on this? Or I thought of, you know, the Christian mystics, of course, because they contemplate, I mean, many of them, right, the crucifixion and the passion of Jesus, and so that's suffering is very close to the mystical Christian path, at least to one, not all. I don't know. What would you say, either of you lovers?
I had a friend, an old teacher, who said suffering is a blessing and not a curse.
Uh-huh, alhamdulillah.
And I think he said it was St. Paul, who said, tribulation is at hand, rejoice.
So, there we are. He was one of those who rejoiced in it.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what I was thinking as you were speaking. It's true. We can't avoid suffering.
Right.
We shouldn't seek to.
We
can't avoid it, and we shouldn't make that our goal.
Our goal, yeah. Right. That should not be our goal. That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because anyway, it'll run after us. It'll find us one way or the other. Because we need, you know, whatever it is, we need to be refined. That's in the Sufi terminology, we speak of polishing the mirror or refining the vessel, you know, until it becomes alive or transparent or luminous. And so, and suffering is, you know, one of the great ways to have that happen, in fact. you know, maybe, would anyone like to comment? Yeah, are there, you know, degrees of suffering or aspects? Mohsin, did you have your hand up?
Yeah, I was just thinking one of the things that Zahra has spoken about, and I think Zahra has spoken about this as well, is, you know, the Quran also says, "Inna Allaha ma'as sabirin," which is, literal translation, Zahra translated better than I can, is that indeed God is with those who are patient, being patient in suffering or adversity or tribulation. But, you know, one of the points Zahra has made me aware of is that it's not just that God is with those who are patient in adversity and tribulation, but when one is given, when one is in this state of patience, God is with them. So God is your companion when you are, you know, so.
You mean when you are...
Well, Sufis talk about this word ma'a then, right? So, inna Allah ma'a sabirin then. But ma'a, turn it into a noun and say ma'a'iyya, withness.
Withness.
And talk about this withness with God, sort of this intimacy that the Quran is pointing to it by saying that God is means he is intimately with the patient, then, right?
So, you know, I think one can, I mean, in my experience, it's in those moments when very limited and short-lived moments, I'll confess, when I can see that, you know, suffering as an invitation to have that intimacy with Allah, because Allah is there, then.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
In those moments, and of course, Allah's intimate companionship. You know, at times is not always rainbows and sunshine, and you know, and it can be very burning.
That's important too, to know that. Yeah, right. I mean, I remember Sheikh Noor would say that the dervish path is like that. That when you pledge to become a dervish, in a sense, you're undergoing this path, and you're undergoing what occurs. Really, for the sake of everyone, it's like the Bodhisattva. It's really the same as the Bodhisattva vow, even though we don't formulate it like that. But that through the dervish undergoing that path, what's called the path of purification, we are doing it for many, many, many other human beings. Certainly, our ancestors and contemporaries and future people coming. You know. So it is true, you know, that in a sense the suffering is shared, and also it is a time when you actually feel that, you feel that companionship with humanity often when you suffer, you know, that you might not strike you in quite the same way when you're just feeling good, but when you're suffering, it puts you at a really deep level of you know, of this human family and of the human condition and of the human dilemma and perplexity. And there's something profoundly beautiful and, you know, of deep pathos about that. And, you know, sometimes we just want to escape being human. But, you know, we're not allowed to, really. Mohsin?
Yeah, I was going to say, James Morris, not this time when he last visited, but last year when he visited, and he brought some of his translation and commentary on Ibn Arabi, was spoke a bit about this. You know, there was a passage of Ibn Arabi where he was saying that you know, unless one has been dominated by the names of majesty. It's only after that then the names of mercy, that the names of Rahman and beauty actually manifest. So the people that you see, when you see them, that actually reflect and manifest those names.
Merciful names, you mean.
Mercy, know that they have first been dominated by the names of majesty.
Wow. MashaAllah. Yeah, that's the Dhul Jalal wal Ikram. Because I remember asking Effendi about Dhul Jalal wal Ikram, which means simply the, you know, like the owner, how would you translate
the possessor of majesty?
And generosity.
Generosity,
and possessor of majesty and generosity. And he said, yes, first the majesty, then the generosity.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of a, yeah, that's in a sense, because the majesty is also the purifier, and the dominator is what makes us truly the servant, or makes us into that nothing that we need to become. And the dying before dying. How beautiful. And, you know, in a way, you could say all of life is, you know, there's a certain, life is not easy. Even the joyful moments. I remember, again, another story of Effendi was that when Allah made the form of Adam, the Adamic human form, which I always say it contained both the feminine and the masculine. So Adam, primordial Adam, is the two. And so, and then, you know, rained down on it for like 9 days. And then one day it got like just pure sunshine and like a nice spring day like we had a few days ago, you know. So, you know, I think of that. That analogy comes back to me often when going through, you know, little tiny tests. But it's good to practice with the little ones, you know. To actually increase one's patience. And sometimes we can become totally impatient in the little things, and, you know, like be much more patient in the big, because then all of a sudden it's like, okay, this is like the sign of God, you know, God is here in the big events. But it's also those little things, whether it's in traffic or waiting in line or something that doesn't work out and we get like, you know, but just we should remember these are, you know, little opportunities to stay patient, because patience is a kind of dying. When we're patient, we die to ourselves, basically, because our impulse, of course, is to, like, you know, shake somebody up or go and fix something right away that's not working, or, you know, push our car through the line. And if we're patient, we die. It's a dying. It's a little dying, you know. So that's why it's so helpful. Effendi would always say, you know, the key to knowledge is patience. And I thought, that's very odd. Key to knowledge didn't seem like, you know, the same, that they would connect. But
in French, we have it's a saying,
to dying to the self. Yeah.
In French, we have a saying which is, patience is the mother of all the virtues.
Mm. Right. Yeah, patience is, and it's almost the last to, you know, it's a very mature virtue, patience. Because God also has, you know, God's lovers are often extremely people with strong temperaments and, you know, beautiful sort of strong life and desire and all of that. And that's great. And Allah loves those. But, that has to go through the eye of the needle. So, mashallah, what a mystery, what a wonder. Alhamdulillah, what a wonder. Thank you. So I would like to just comment on one other. They were afflicted by misery and hardship and were so convulsed that the messenger, and those who believe, the messenger himself, and those who believed with him said, when will God's help come? So that's, you know, a great intensity. But the crying out is, brings also the mercy. It's almost like when we're at that point that we can't, you know, bear it, and we and our soul cries out, and maybe our voice cries out, and we pray to God, and we say, you know, help, madad. And wondering that, you know, how far can this go? And then, as it said, but surely God's help is near. Nigh has also the, in a temporal sense, but near or nigh. I mean, it's very close to coming, or it's there, but will manifest momentarily. So, but the crying out of our soul is something that we have to remember to always turn and cry out. I mean, as I said, at some point it becomes inevitable, but even before that point, you know, before we start thinking for ourselves, I mean, this is something that I've noticed in my own thinking. There's very often, you know, when we come to trouble or difficulty and we'll try to figure it out at that level. But actually, it's better even at that level just to say, Allah, what, you know, can this be solved? Because Allah's solution is very different. I mean, not that it can't be solved rationally and through practical means, but Allah's way might shortcut a lot of that, or just present a different form that might be even more blessed. So again, it's just a reminder that always turn to Allah as the first one to solve the problem before even ourselves. I mean, that's my own experience right now, but others might say differently, because there's always that thing of ijtihad, you know, which relies on the human divine intelligence and inner guidance of each soul to come to its own best understanding for each situation. So we are always practicing that in a certain way. I guess, I don't know, maybe I just don't care to rely quite so much on myself anymore. But human solutions are amazing. And they're, of course, always divinely inspired, whether it's known or not, or even whether we use our rational mind and we never think of God at all, is still divinely guided. Everyone has their path to God, and every breath of every being is a path to God. In every breath there's an opening. Alhamdulillah. So,
Shiva.
Yes, Mohsin.
But I think it's very important to remind ourselves and others. So thank you for that, because I'm not sure if this is the same verse, maybe Zahra knows, but the end of that, and indeed the help of Allah is
said that in the text.
And then the next verse, I believe, is Mubashiru Mu'minina Ya Mu'min. So give good news to the believers, Muhammad.
Give good news to believers that the victory of I call it love, is here. Yeah. Alhamdulillah. Is that what you're saying? Yeah. So even in the midst of the trial, that in a way the victory is already there, and the trial is a sign of the victory. So that's already an advanced way to look at our suffering as the promise of the victory, you know, or another face of it. Because I sometimes say this to dervishes, it's an honor to go through these trials. It's part of the honor of being a human being, to be tested. There's so many people to pray for. I mean, everybody. So let's offer this zikr for everyone, all those who need prayers, and all those in our families, and in our dervish communities, and in all the dervish communities, in every mystic community, and of those souls who are truly undertaken that great journey of return. And may they all be successful, all those whose aspiration is the truth.
Amen.
And for all souls who don't know why they're being either disregarded or marginalized or oppressed or tortured or find themselves in wars, like so many refugees now from these wars that they have nothing to do with, that are just rolling over them. It's just like a kind of, you know, plague or something that's just taking over their countries, and they're living now in other countries at the mercy of other countries in refugee camps, and women are being raped, and, you know, children are not getting maybe enough food. It's, I mean, really, things are very intense for many, many, many people. So that's another way also when we have our sufferings to just look really at the plight of so many. So let's offer this zikr and all the light and mercy and beauty of this zikr, whatever is sent to us, whatever descends, you know, just putting in perspective. And then that we have a mystic path to counterbalance also our suffering. How great that is, that we have a Lord to turn to, and that we have wisdom teachings to guide us. How amazing, how amazing. But, you know, inshallah, those wisdom teachings are there for everyone. Everyone has, because by now prophets have covered the entire earth. The entire earth is fragrant with the teaching of the prophets and messengers. And alhamdulillah. So let's feel like in unison with all humanity and all beings. You know, what we didn't talk about was the suffering of the lovers. Implied, it was part of, it's part of the suffering of humanity, but it's a special kind of suffering. And I'd just like us to contemplate that, what the suffering of the lovers is. And the suffering is suffering with all beings, with all suffering beings. So it is that compassion, it is that love that reaches out and feels the suffering of others. And it is also the suffering in relation to Allah. It is that lover's suffering of separation, sense of sometimes separation. Because even the lovers, as close as they are, seem to undergo that light and shadow in those veils, even maybe by the divine wish, as we see, by the divine love itself that draws near and then covers, and then draws near and then covers. And maybe in this way the lover's heart is becoming even more alive and on fire. So the lovers have a special kind of suffering, the friends of Allah. And then they suffer because they feel they are, they suffer for their mistakes. I think they suffer very intensely for their mistakes, and their repentance is maybe what we don't know. It's like a fire, it's like a sword. Maybe they feel it in that way, as they feel separation like a sword. You know, we have only to read Rumi, Mevlana Jalaluddin Rumi, to know that, to have a taste of that degree of love and what it brings. So this is a different kind of suffering, and it's a suffering that they would not want to give up. That unlike the other suffering, maybe that people would feel, maybe we don't need this, or, but the lover's suffering is like the thorn and of the rose, and the rose does not come without the thorn. And as the great Ashki has said, Rahmatullah alayh, he has said that sometimes the thorn is sweeter than the rose. So, alhamdulillah, that gives us an inkling of his kind of love and passion. Alhamdulillah. So those are just a few things that came to my heart that I wanted to share. I didn't feel that our talk was complete without that. Alhamdulillah. But also, oh, something further on suffering, the dervish is the bee who transformed the suffering into honey. This is a very important part of the discussion that we can't leave out. By greeting that suffering, knowing that suffering comes from Allah, and welcoming it, saying Alhamdulillah, that's the alchemy to transform any suffering into pure honey. MashaAllah. But that's a part of our task, is that alchemy, that transformation, you know, and because nothing ever stays the same. There's no stable state in the world. There's not, something doesn't just come. So everything is changing anyway. So, but the change that the dervish brings about is toward the light, toward what is the good, toward the beneficial, toward the healing, toward all the beautiful qualities of Allah.